Mark chapter 2. A couple weeks ago, Dr. Ennis was at our church to finish up our revival, and he preached a very thought-provoking message. And one of the thoughts that I took from that, and I've not been able to get away from it, is the fact that every creature, every created being, whether it be animal, human, plant, whatever it may be, everything that's created, if it is to fulfill the purpose it was designed to fulfill, must, in every moment of its life, manifest glory to the Creator. You know, trees do what they do because that's what God created them. Animals do what they do because that's what God created them. Man is the only thing God created that thinks he can do it better. And so I got to thinking about that. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2, it's a familiar story. We'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they went down. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." As we read this passage of Scripture, we understand the circumstances around this particular story. And those of you in here know this. You've heard this preached before. But the idea here was there was four men who had heard about this man called Jesus. And they realized that the one thing their friend needed was Jesus.
Yes.
And so as they heard that, they decided to carry him one day to where Jesus was. And so when we read this passage of Scripture, we've read it for years, we've preached on it for years, and it's one of the greatest miracles I believe the Lord Jesus Christ ever fulfilled, because this man was paralyzed. He could not do anything for himself. And as they brought him to Jesus, we hear preachers preach about the four men. I heard about a message one preacher preached one time called The Ten-Legged Man Meets the Master. Hey, you know, if you add it up, you'll figure out it's about right. People talk about, and this is part, I like this part here, preachers preach about how the Lord rebuked those Pharisees there and put them in their place. I always love it when he did that. Amen. I know some folk, I see some folk in our world today I wish he'd do it to right now. But the fact of the matter is, we think about that. But I want to look at something a little different today that I hope will bless your heart. And I hope it'll help you. And that's what preaching's all about, is to help. You know, we're not competing, not trying to impress anybody, just want to help. And so I hope it'll help you this morning. But as we look at this, we realize that in that particular landscape, the housing situation was one of the houses had roofs on them that were of varying kinds. You know, some would lay sticks and branches across, and some would put clay tiles down, and some would have overlapping clay tiles to keep the rain off and keep the temperatures and elements out, and so forth. And so I want to speak for just a few moments on the subject, getting the clay out of the way. Getting the clay out of the way. Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, we find out that the clay in the Scripture is a picture and a type of the flesh.
Yes.
Now, if I were to ask a question this morning to each one of you to name the greatest obstacle to our faith, most of us would say without hesitation the greatest obstacle to our faith is unbelief. And I think there's something to be said for that. But I believe a bigger obstacle that causes the unbelief, the biggest obstacle to our faith, is ourself.
Yes, sir.
Ourself. I told my folk one time, the hardest person you will ever forgive is yourself.
Amen.
And so here we have a picture of four men who wanted to get to Jesus. They had heard about him. And so they come to the house. It's surrounded by people. People are pressed inside. Amen. It was all over the place. You couldn't get close. And so they decided to go up an outside staircase on the outside of the house, go up there and take part of the roof off, remove the clay. I want you to see what happened when they did that. Number one, when you take the clay and get it out of the way, you can examine the person of Jesus Christ. You can examine the person of Jesus Christ. And there's a couple of things about that. Here's what I like. He becomes more discernible. More discernible. Hey, it's one thing to hear what Jesus is doing. It's something totally different to see it. It's something totally different to feel it. Somebody said, you sing because the Lord blesses. You shout because he blessed you. Amen. I like that. I just enjoy that. I enjoyed last night more than you can just imagine. I just got excited last night, and I've never been a real big shouter. Emphasis on the shout, not the big, okay? But I'll shout with the best of them if we get going. Amen. I enjoyed it last night. I love to shout. Why? Because I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. Now, he becomes more discernible. As they took the roof off, they could see Jesus. They could see him. Nothing hides the lovely face of our Savior from view any more than our old stinking flesh. Our attitudes, our actions, our affections, our fears, our failures, our foolishness, our sins, our shortcomings, our silliness all add up to block our vision of him. Our greeds, our grudges, our hurts, our hates, our worries, our wanderings all stand between us and seeing his glory. Sin clouds the eyes and sears the conscience. But when the clay of the flesh is uncovered, that is, it's seen for what it is. You know, I hear people, and it's really big today, I hear people all the time saying, well, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. You better not. But not your Bible says, and if your Bible doesn't say it, you got the wrong Bible. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Yeah, don't follow your heart. Your heart leads you astray. Amen. When you see the clay for what it is, when it's broken up, that is, it becomes humbled before him in repentance. The wall of separation between us falls and we can see him in all his glory. If you're going to make it through this life, you must be able to see him. Just as the sheep must see the shepherd, the bride must see the bridegroom. Somebody mentioned Billy Kelly last night. He said one time, he wanted to know who he was going out with. He wanted to see her. He said he only been on one blind date in his life, and he wished he was blind when he got there. Amen. Somebody said, well, you're no Mr. America. He said, but that didn't keep me from wanting to marry Miss America. Amen. Listen, the bride wants to see the bridegroom. The bridegroom wants to see the bride. Amen. The son wants to see the father. The saint must be able to see the Savior. Seeing him makes the journey bearable. He becomes more desirable. Discernible. Number two, he becomes more desirable. Hey, the more you see of Jesus, the more you're going to want to see of Jesus. When the clay is removed, they could see Jesus, and the object of their desire became more desirable. More about Jesus, the song says. When we get before him and get the clay out of the way, our lives, our business will pick up. When he is seen in his right position as Savior and Lord, as Master, as God, the soul will long for him and desire him more than life itself. Nothing will thrill the saint like getting the clay out of the way, getting self out of the way, and let Jesus operate in your life. David said in Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, the Bible said, did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. Hey, and the more Jesus is on you and in you, and the more of Jesus you see, the more your heart's going to burn. Question is, are you living in a place and in such a way where you can see Him? You can examine the person of Jesus. Then number two, when you get the clay out of the way, you can enter the presence of Jesus. Here's these fellows up on the roof. Jesus is in the house. They can't get to where He is till you get the clay out of the way. You and I can't get to where Jesus is and wants to operate in our lives until we get the clay out of the way. But what happens? What happens when you get in the presence of Jesus? I like this. I don't know about you, but now these four fellows had carried this man. Don't lose sight of that. Now here's a fellow that can't lift himself, do anything for himself. And y'all understand what the phrase dead weight means. A person who can help you move them is a lot easier than a person who can't do anything. This man couldn't do anything. You know what the first thing they were able to do when they got in the presence of Jesus? Listen to this. You can discharge your burden. You can discharge your burden when you get in the presence of Jesus. Maybe some of you here this morning are carrying a heavy load. You got a burden on you that you just can't seem to handle. Boy. Yeah, I like that verse that says cast. We want to lay it down. Listen, he says cast it. Throw it. Just throw it. I can lay it down, but if I lay it down, I'm standing right there close to it. But if I'm casting it, I'm getting it away from me. You can discharge your burden. When the clay was removed, they were able to let the paralyzed man down to Jesus' feet. They were able to give him, Jesus, their burden. The same is true for the child of God. As long as the clay is in the way, we cannot get to him like we need to. You can discharge your burden. Number two, you can discover your blessing. Jesus looks up and he sees these men and what they've done. And the Bible says, because of their faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because of their faith, you can discover your blessing. Listen, if we'll get the clay out of the way and get into the place where we can see Jesus and we can be in His presence, hey man, we can start receiving the blessings. You say, well, God hadn't done anything for me lately. Maybe your clay's in the way. Can I testify for just a second? It happens to us preachers too. We get ourselves involved too much with ourselves, and we don't see the blessing of God like we'd like to. Guilty. I'll testify to that. The fact of the matter is, God has a blessing for us. Did you know that God cannot bless your life like He wants to until the clay is out of the way? Until your flesh and mind is dealt with, we can forget about revival. Do you know that's why in the day in which we live, we don't see the revivals like we used to have? It's because we got too much self in the church. Too much self in the church. But when we take the steps to deal with this flesh, when we uncover it for what it is, and when we get honest about our lives, when we take the steps to ensure that this clay is broken up before God, that He can and will move in His church in power and glory. He promises that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, He said, if you'll just do what I'm telling you, I got a blessing I'll pour out on you that you won't be able to contain. What a mighty God we serve. Do you know who is going to cause me more trouble in my Christian walk than anyone else? It isn't the people in my church. It isn't the devil. It isn't my wife. It isn't my children. The greatest problem I'm going to ever face in my life is a fellow I look at in the mirror every morning. Self. But until we get rid of that. Now, I'm glad one day there's coming a day when we're going to drop this old flesh and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad we're going to have a glorified body. We're not carrying all this with us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
This flesh is not going to be a problem for us anymore.
Amen.
I thank God for that. So you can examine the person of Jesus. You can enter the presence of Jesus. And then number three, you can experience the power of Jesus.
Amen.
Now there was two things that happened here concerning the power of Jesus. Number one, in verse number five, we see his cleansing power. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, a lot of times the flesh keeps us from confessing. Well, now, I mean, no, that wasn't so bad. It wasn't as bad as Brother So-and-so.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I'm not a bad person. I'm all right. That's flesh. That's the flesh talking. The cleansing power of Jesus Christ only comes when we realize how wicked we are.
Amen.
And we confess. Jesus cleansed this man from his sins. Now, perhaps his illness was due to sin. I don't know. But when the clay was taken out of the way, he was cleansed by the Lord. See, Jesus understood the biggest problem this man had was not his paralyzation.
Right.
The biggest problem this man had was a wicked heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I don't care if he ever walked again. When he got saved, he was going to heaven, and one day he was going to walk.
Amen. Right.
Didn't make any difference. God knew what he needed most.
Amen.
When we uncover the clay of our lives through confession, when we break up the clay of our lives through humble repentance, we can and will experience his cleansing power. I'm so glad. I'm so glad 1 John 1:9 is still in the book.
Amen.
You know, I hear a lot of people quote that verse, but I want you to say that verse was written to Christians.
That's right. Amen.
That's not for lost people. That's for Christians.
Right.
If we confess,
Amen.
God will forgive us. God will forgive us. No matter what kind of stain you bear, the Lord can wash it away.
Amen.
And you can experience his cleansing power.
Amen.
It may be some secret sin known only to you and the Lord. He can cleanse that. It may be some public sin that others know about. He can cleanse that too.
Amen.
It may be an old bitter spirit. It may be a lack of love for your fellow Christians. It may be a lack of forgiveness for something said or done to you by somebody else. He can and will forgive all of these things. So we see his cleansing power. But then in verses 10 through 12, we see his changing power. Jesus didn't just touch this man on the inside. He touched him on the outside too. Amen. He healed this man. He changed this man's life. He changed this man's life. And I'm going to tell you what. If somebody as big as Jesus Christ moves into your heart, your life's going to change too. Oh, wow. We think, boy, and I'm so sick and tired of seeing people who profess to be Christians living like they did before. I in the workplace, I see people, and I'm not as far along as some of you are, but I've been far enough to see, back in the day, they used to call it cussing a blue streak. You ever heard that? I hear people today, and they'll cuss a blue streak, and then turn around and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. My Bible tells me bitter water and sweet water doesn't come out the same well. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All I'm saying is this, when Jesus Christ comes in and makes a change, he changes inside and outside.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God, when he changes you, you're going to look changed.
Amen.
We got too many people today that want to hang on to the flesh, hang on to the old way.
Right.
Hey, it wasn't good to you then, it's not going to be good to you now. His changing power. That's what will happen when we get the clay out of the way It will change our walk. It will change our prayer life. It will change and make us bold in our witness. It will make us vocal in our praise. It will fill us with excitement. It will leave a lost world scratching their heads in amazement, just like he did here. And the Bible said, immediately he arose, and those that were gathered around said, we never saw it on this fashion. Why can't we as the church of God allow the world to say we've never seen it like that before? Amen. Only with the power of God.
Amen.
How many times have you and I gone to God and say, God, please do this for me. Please do that for me. Please help me with this. Please help me with that. And when we figure out why God hadn't done it, we realize it's because we're standing in the way of the progress. Getting the clay out of the way. Oh my. Now I realize we're dealing with the saintly crowd in here this morning. And there's nobody in here that's having the problem I'm talking about. If that's the case, I'm preaching to myself then. And I'm all right with that. Because I need it too. But are you having a problem this morning with the old clay? Get it out of the way. Get it out of the way. So Jesus Christ becomes more discernible to you. He becomes more desirable to you. He becomes what you need more than life itself.
Amen.
Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'll meet the need, continue to bless in the furtherance of this service. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.